Good morning. It's a pleasure this morning to gather together with you in God's house to worship our great and awesome God. God has blessed us with once again a beautiful day and another day of grace. For opening this morning, I'd like to read out of Isaiah 53, 1 through 6. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, and we are reminded, even with the opening verses this morning out of Isaiah, of who you are and what it is you've done for us. We ask this morning, as we have gathered together, as we have gathered in your house, as we have separated ourselves from the world, we ask, Lord, that you enter into our hearts with your Spirit, that as we read your word and as we meditate upon it, that we may honor and glorify your name, that we may be drawn closer together as a church, be edified, that we could grow together, and that we might be able to, in turn, as we go out into the world, may honor your name and glorify you, that the world might see you through our words and our actions. Be with us this morning as we study your word, and be with us as we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's praise him in song.
Please take your red hymnal and turn to page 133, Whosoever Heareth. 133.
Whosoever heareth, shout, shout the sound, spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Tell the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, send a proclamation over field and hill. 'Tis the loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever cometh need not delay. Now the door is open, enter while you may. Jesus is the true, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will, send a proclamation over vale and hill.
29, my song shall be of Jesus. 29.
Thank you for that singing. This morning for text, we'll read out of Matthew chapter 21, as it is Palm Sunday, and we'll read of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Matthew 21, verses 1 to 16. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come unto Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied with and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught to you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled that which is spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt a foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put their clothes, and sat him thereon. A very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes went before him, and followed, cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God, and cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold the doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came unto him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And he said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city unto Bethany, and he lodged there. In John's account of the time shortly before the triumphant ride into Jerusalem, John records that much of the Jews knew that Jesus would be there. And they didn't just come to see Jesus, but they also might see Lazarus, whom Jesus had just raised from the dead. And then John tells us the chief priests then consulted that they might even put Lazarus to death. So it seemed for the high priests and the Pharisees at the time, it was a popularity contest. They were jealous that many people believed on Jesus because they saw the power that he displayed, the kind of power that only God could provide. And Jesus' most recent show of power was a very public resurrection of Lazarus. The high priests want to kill Lazarus because he was walking proof of who Jesus was, God's Son. I'd say that's quite an ambitious goal, seeking to kill what God had just raised. God's show of his power over death. But it showed their blindness to who God truly was and how far they were from God's will. So John's stating of how the many people who came to see Lazarus because the story of his resurrection would have spread like wildfire. How often do you hear of a man being raised from the dead? And they would be curious to see Lazarus as much as they would want to see the one who raised him. Remember, Lazarus was in the grave long enough that he would stink. And now he was walking around in public. The Pharisees could not argue with walking proof. So they desired to eliminate it. And they concentrated their hate towards Christ because of all the teaching and the healing and the show of God's power, and his rebuke of them constantly made them no longer look like the holy ones that they were trying to portray as actors. As Jesus constantly told them, they were hypocrites, meaning they were actors pretending to be holy. And if this would continue on, they too would lose what little power they had left over the nation. Now, Jesus riding into Jerusalem the days before the Passover would not be a random event. It was prophecy. If you go to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, Zechariah 9, verse 9. It says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and the colt the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace to the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. Excuse me. In Roman times, it is said when a ruler rode into a city on a horse, it was a symbol of war. But if he rode in on a donkey, it means he came in peace. And this donkey that Jesus rode in on was not even a full-grown one. It was the colt, a young donkey. No saddle, riding low to the ground. Not the kind of majesty that you would picture for a king. much less the King of Kings. Yet these people who were singing God's praises were under the misconception that their newfound king would deliver them from the rule of the Romans. Believing this caused them to worship with loud voices and spread their garments and palm branches. In Israel's history, palm branches were mentioned a few times. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 40, during the Feast of the Tabernacles, it says, "Ye shall take on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and the willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days." These palms were a sign of rejoicing. And when Solomon was constructing the temple, after he became king, many of the doors and the walls and the pedestals would all have palm trees carved into them, and they would be overlaid with gold, as it tells us in 1 Kings chapter 6, 1 Kings 6:32. The two doors were of olive tree, and he carved upon them carvings of cherubim and palm trees and open flowers, and overlaid them with gold, and spread gold upon the cherubim and upon the palm trees. Now Solomon was the king, the son of David, and David was the one who destroyed all the enemies of Israel, and now Solomon could enjoy peace along with all of the nation of Israel. David had defeated all of Israel's enemies, and this time of peace would be portrayed upon the walls of God's temple in the form of palm trees. And the only other evidence that I found that would have precedence to the Palm Sunday would be in 2 Kings chapter 9. In 2 Kings chapter 9, the king at that time was Jehu, and he was a king chosen by God to rid the nation of all of the evil King Ahab's children and his wife Jezebel. Now Jezebel was the woman who brought the idols into Israel and the one who had made it law that all of the prophets of God should be destroyed. Now Elisha was sent by God to anoint Jehu as king. And when the servants found out, it says, they hasted and took every man his garment and put it under him at the top of the stairs and blew with trumpets, saying, "Jehu is king." So they laid down their clothes before the king, kind of like rolling out the red carpet, showing honor to the majesty of the king. In Luke chapter 19, if we go to Luke's account of the ride into Jerusalem, Luke 19, verse 37 through 40. "And when he was come nigh, even to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen." This was an accumulation of all the works that Christ had done, all the healings, the resurrections, the control of nature as he showed. And now with a loud voice, they praised God for the mighty works that they had seen. And they said, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Such a suiting praise for the King of the world. But in verse 39, again, it speaks to the Pharisees, and it says, "Some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that If these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now you might find it strange how Jesus would refer to stones singing his praises. If those who were present would not. But as believers, we need to recognize the praise and the honor and the glory that our God deserves. If you do not recognize the honor, glory, and praise he deserves, you need to wait, you need to stop, and you need to check yourself. Do you have breath? Do you have life? Do you have loved ones? Are you worshiping God? Has God drawn you here this morning to worship him? So many in this world ignore God. Even those perhaps who call themselves Christians forsake the assembling of themselves together with believers on the Lord's Day. Our God is worthy of all honor, praise, and glory, and worship daily, not just on Sundays. Let's go to Job chapter 12, verse 7. Job 12, verse 7. But ask the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all things that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hands is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? He gives life and breath to all things. He's in control of everything. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Verse 12 to 13. Sorry, we'll start with 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is under heaven and on the earth and under the earth, as such as are in the sea, and all that in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. We have this God that is worthy of all honor and glory and praise. And those who are in his presence, the angels, cannot do anything but praise his glorious name at the sight of his terrible, awesome glory. Do we do the same? I want to read one more passage out of Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Praise is a necessary job of his redeemed children. I don't care how you praise him. If you shout his praises loudly from the rooftop, if you speak it to your friends in close contact, if you sing loudly in church or quiet in the shower, if you whisper it under your breath, or that it comes out perhaps in your generosity to others, or maybe when you kneel in your closet and praise him in the dark. But you must praise God. You need to recognize, you need to remind yourself who he is, and you need to remind yourself what he has done. Before we go over to the second part, I want to read out of Psalm chapter 118. Psalm 118, start with verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, unto which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let's take the opportunity at this moment to go on bended knee, and for those who are not capable, humble your hearts, and let's pray to our great, awesome God. May the Lord hear our prayers and grant our petitions.
From the Blue Book, number 328, are you washed in the blood? Could we stand?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood?
Thank you for that wonderful singing. In Jesus' case, you know, that week that followed Palm Sunday, most of those voices who loudly proclaimed Him as King would fall silent. And some of them would even shout the opposite, as we read in Mark chapter 15. Verse 12. And Pilate answered and said again to them, "What will ye then that I should do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why, what evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." Many people witnessed the numerous events in Jesus' life, his healing of the sick, his healing of the possessed, his baptism, where the Spirit of God descended upon him, and the voice of God audibly pronounced that this was his beloved Son in whom he was well pleased. And yet now they seek his death. Even the disciples, too, who had witnessed so much in Jesus' life, like nobody else had, would forsake him in a few days. When Peter, James, and John witnessed Moses and Elijah speaking with Christ and how Christ's face was shining like the sun, these men also forsook him. There are times in our lives when the going gets tough. And sometimes, perhaps, we forsake the things we know and ask God why he allows certain trials in our life. But has he not carried you this far? As we read before we went and knelt, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. We know our God provides for the smallest of sparrows. Why would he not continue to do so for you? Now, even though Christ's coming was predicted, as we read in the opening this morning in Isaiah 53, the day that these people were looking forward to was what was predicted in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. But the physical fulfillment of when the serpent will be destroyed is in his second coming, as we read in Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. Revelation 17, 14. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Even though many praised his entrance into Jerusalem that week, there were people who did not recognize still that he was Christ, and they did not understand that he came to die. That he would be the lamb without blemish that was foreshadowed back in Leviticus for the sacrifice of a lamb to cover sin. When Jesus begun his ministry, it was almost as if it was secretive. When Jesus healed the blind men in Matthew 9, verse 30, it says, their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. And again in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Matthew 16, 16, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee the keys, unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then in verse 20 it says, then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Mark records at least five times when Christ told them to keep this a secret, when his power had been revealed and that he was the Christ. But Palm Sunday was different. Why? Well, it says in Mark chapter 14, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft or secretly and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. They conspired to take him by craft. They wanted to wait till after Passover. Why? Every Passover, the Jews that could would make their way to Jerusalem, to the temple, to take part in the sacrifices, and to be a witness to the Passover lamb sacrifice and feast. This was bad timing for the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests because Jesus had just resurrected Lazarus. Now all would come to see this man who did all these things. They wanted to kill Jesus before his fame became too much more to control. So they wanted to wait till after the Passover when everyone is gone and get rid of him secretly, because most of them truly believed he was a prophet. Now we know evil prefers darkness and secrecy because they don't want their sin exposed to the light. Even for the church leaders, murder is explicitly forbidden in the Ten Commandments. But we know this was not about the law of God. This was about greed, and it was about power. What does God's timing revolve around, us or anyone else? Was this about the leaders of that time? It was about God's timing. Now, if you recall the origin of the Passover, the origin of the Passover was when the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, and Moses had come to ask Pharaoh to let God's people go, and Pharaoh refused. So God brought plagues about upon the Egyptians that they would recognize that Moses and the Hebrews' God had power over nature and even death. And the final plague was the angel of death that would come over the city by night. We can go to Exodus chapter 12 and read that account. Exodus 12, starting with verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, that when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered out our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all of the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, and he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Now God pointed out that this would be an ordinance to the children of Israel forever, a service they would have to keep. And they were actually keeping it when Jesus rode into town, which I find surprising since they were so far from God in their hearts. It seemed that they only had loveless service. Now the time was come when the Passover was to be celebrated, and the actual final Passover lamb just rode into town 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years after God created the original ordinance. And here in our time, 2,000 years since, we continue to celebrate the Passover. We now call it the Lord's Supper. And we are all called to do it over and over again till we do it again with him in heaven. So Jesus rode into town to make a show of who he was, because he would no longer hide who he was. It would force the hand of the Pharisees to seek to kill him earlier than they had planned during the Passover, instead of after. And God has always appointed an appointed time for things to happen. And of course, it would only make sense for the final sacrificial lamb that would defeat death once for all to do it during the anniversary of the original Passover, or the passing over of the angel of death. A perfect fulfillment from a perfect God. The original act of lamb's blood on the doorposts and the lintel to keep them from the angel of death. Now the perfect lamb taking away the sins of the world to eternal life and never have to fear death. I think as Mennonites, I believe we fall short of properly praising God. Nehemiah chapter 9, he tells us, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and all praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven and the heaven of heavens, and all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all. All the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Thou art the Lord, the God, who did choose Abraham and broughtest him forth out of the Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name of Abraham. The first Palm Sunday, while it glorified God through his Son, was only a prelude to the day when all his enemies will become his footstool. and we will no longer be persecuted by Satan and his forces. And we read that in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5, 11 to 14. As we read before, and beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and as such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying," this is all of them saying, everything that was created, saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever." And then chapter 7, verse 9. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, all of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and all the elders and the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, of all involved in that first Palm Sunday. Whom are you most like? Are we like the people who are praising him in song and honoring him with their lips on a Sunday once in a while, and then later forsake him when the going gets tough? Perhaps even sometimes our voices shout, "Crucify him," when we become tempted with sin and we give in. Are we the same ones who misunderstood him, why he came in the first place? He came to seek and to save, and not to destroy our enemies here on earth. Or are we like the Pharisees, the ones who were jealous of Christ's glory, envious of attention that Lazarus got, or perhaps someone else gets? These Pharisees were happy to see Christ suffer, to keep their own temporary power and their own temporary earthly glory. Or are we the stones? If we had to, we would sing his praises if no one else is going to do it. Or are we like Lazarus? Are we one who is raised from the dead? We can only imagine the honor and praise that he would give to Christ for what he had done. Lazarus being a living testament for the glory and honor and power of our God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you at the close of the service, and my prayer is, Lord, that this is not the close of the worship that we give to you today, that we would continue to worship and honor and glorify your name, not just today, not just this week, but in our lives, Lord. Send your Spirit that we may have the power and the strength to honor and glory and praise your name amongst the heathen. that as a church we can be drawn closer to you, closer to each other, and we may draw others who do not know you, that they can see you in our actions. You are worthy of all glory and honor and praise. And we thank you for sending your Son and paying the debt that we owe. Keep fresh in our minds the work that you have done, the work that you continue to do. Help us to honor your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For anything else that we have need of, again, we have the opportunity to go on bended knee or to humble ourselves. So let's together as a church humble ourselves and pray. May the Lord hear our prayers and grant our petitions. Amen.
Let's take your blue hymnal and turn to number 378. Take the name of Jesus with you. 378.
Take it down.
Good morning. I thank Brother Terry for the Passion Week service. Have some announcements. Passion Week services, they will be held starting tomorrow, Lord willing, from Monday to Thursday at 7 p.m. Come join us in worship as we celebrate Jesus the week of Easter. Each evening will be presented with a different speaker, music and messages, some poems and prayers with a snack to follow. Hope to see you there. Also, you can see the Winkler Sommerfeld Church Deacon Ordination will be happening on April 23rd, and I just ask that you keep Henry and Susanna Bartsch in your prayers. Also, I'll draw your attention to the insert. We the Winkler Sommerfeld Mennonite Church will be having a special collection on April 9th, that's next Sunday, Easter Sunday, to help with surgery, cost, flights, and bills. Prayers and any amount of donations would be much appreciated. All monies placed in the coffers next week Sunday will assist Frank and Agonitha Cron, unless the donation is clearly designated otherwise. Also, the Gospel Message invites you to their Listener Appreciation Banquet and Fundraiser on April 14th at 6 p.m. here in the Winkler Sommerfeld Mennonite Church. Special music by Henry and Susie Zacharias, and a video report from Radio Pastor Wes Hepner. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. You have the opportunity this week to gather together as a church and to continue to honor Christ's name for what he has done. And I think that was a fitting song. My prayer is also that you take the name of Jesus with you. Let's bow for the benediction. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you peace. May the Lord preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. God bless you all. Happy Easter.